Are you listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network? One daily news story well told. I'm your host, Jeff Struss. Well, California has been in the news as of late with political turmoil, religious persecution, even just recently, though, religious revival, as we've been hearing reports of tent revivals that are bringing in the lost and setting the captives free. Today, our guest is a businessman turned pastor turned political candidate. California is having a special election as Governor Newsom has officially been recalled, and a special election will be taking place to determine who the next governor of California will be. Will it be our guest? Stick around and find out.
Have you heard about Liberty University's one-of-a-kind scholarship? Students from families that typically make $35,000 to $95,000 annually probably won't qualify for the federal Pell Grant, which provides vital funds for college. Our Middle America Scholarship, when combined with the Liberty Champion Award, will match the Pell Grant, a value of over $20,000 in 4 years. Want to know more? Text MAS to 49596 for more information. Again, that's MAS to 49596.
Well, our guest today is Sam Gallucci. He's the senior pastor at Embrace Church in Oxnard, California. He's the founder and CEO of the Kingdom Center, which provides emergency shelter and transitional living assistance for at-risk women and children. Sam loves California and is a lifelong resident who has lived across the Golden State. Sam likes to say, I grew up in the City of Angels, got my career start in San Diego, and left my heart in San Francisco. He's a featured speaker in the areas of business, travel, and faith. He's authored 2 books, and he has 3 adult sons who are all married, 7 grandchildren, and he lives in Oxnard with his beautiful wife, Toni, and he's running to be the next governor of California. Sam, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be with you.
Well, likewise, and we're so thankful that this was able to fit into your schedule as we're out here on the East Coast and you're on the West, so I know you rearranged your schedule a little bit to make this happen, but when we heard about you declaring your candidacy for the governor and we heard about your background, we knew this was a story that we wanted to cover. We know our audience is deeply concerned about the state of the nation. We know California is a power player in the nation, culturally and ideologically. And so what happens in California certainly doesn't stay in California. I want to talk about the details on your platform and what you would focus on as governor. But before we do, could you tell us about your background? I know that you were heavily involved in business, entrepreneurship, even software when it was just developing, and you have this extensive and rich background in ministry. Could you just paint that picture for our listeners?
Sure, Jeff. I was saved in 1980, born again in the campus of San Diego State University in the Jesus People Movement, and had an incredible encounter with the Lord at that time. And the next year, I was married. I met my wife. I was saved in February of 1980, met my wife in a business class in September, beginning of my senior year, and we were married the following August. And in that time, had the privilege to go to work for IBM in August of 1981, right after marriage, and was an amazing time in history. It was a time before the time. Technology was just beginning to be birthed, and there was at that time no such thing as the software industry independent from IBM or HP or any of the hardware companies. It was all controlled by them. Only a fraction of the world had computers, just the very, very largest companies. There was no such thing as the public internet. It may have been around, but nobody really knew about it. There was no PC, Microsoft, Apple, and none of that existed. And I had the privilege to be on the ground floor. And God gave me that pioneering spirit. In 1984, I went to a conference with Jack Hayford, and he introduced me to the Holy Spirit. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at that time. And that pioneering spirit just grew in me. And God gave me the privilege to be the part of what now is life as we know it. Started in the software industry and At 25, was a part of a startup company that created the first contact management software. And my career took off in an industry I helped birth called customer relationship management. And so I had an incredible business career that crescendoed with running a multinational division of PeopleSoft. I was an executive vice president and general manager and a luminary in the field of customer relationship management. And birthed several companies and learned how to create something from nothing. And during that period of time, became a workaholic and just became a prodigal, working, traveling the country. And in 2000, had a divine encounter with the Lord in the sin in my life, came back home. My wife and I had this miraculous transformation in our marriage, and God got a hold of me. And my way, I would say, would be a road to Damascus experience. And at that point, we dedicated the rest of our life to the Lord. He had called me into ministry back in 84, and I had the privilege of writing my first book, Road Warrior, How to Protect Your Faith, Your Integrity, and Relationships When You Travel for Work. Had the privilege to be on the 700 Club with my wife, and we started a ministry to rescue marriages. And we had this incredible ministry. Here we were, a very affluent couple that had traveled the world, and now we were in ministry. And we said, God, we'll do anything. We'll go anywhere you want us to go. We'll do anything you want us to do. And that started this incredible journey for Tony and I. And my first assignment, I went back to school and started at Talbot at Biola, and then was mentored by Jack Hayford in the school. Pastoral nurturing with at the King's College and Seminary. He personally mentored me, and along with a group of us. And my first assignment, the Lord said, I want you to be a pastor to the homeless. So from the boardroom to speaking at the LA Convention Center in front of crowds of 30,000 people, from being on radio and television, flying around in the private jet and being jet set around, to ministering to homeless people. And God just broke my heart for the things that broke his. And for the next, well, to this date, I began to engage fully in Matthew 25, the great parable of Jesus, when he separated the sheep and the goat, and he declared, when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you let me in. And so we started a ministry of the church called Operation Embrace. And for 7 years, we lived during the day. We welcomed them into our church, and we lived during the day with the homeless. I had the privilege of burying over 100 of them, I suspect. And that's how the Kingdom Centers were birthed. And God used my entrepreneurial experience to create creative strategies to address that problem. And then in 2012, City of Ventura tried to shut us down. We ended up having to protect our First Amendment rights, and we ended up learning about our justice system. And in federal court, we were on our way to the Supreme Court, but we got a unanimous decision at the Ninth Circuit to protect religious liberty and our First Amendment rights. While that was happening, God said, now that you are a pastor to the homeless, I want you to go into the fields of Oxnard and become a pastor to the undocumented Latino migrants. So we started a ministry there, and it's been going on now for over 7 years. We started that in 2014, and over 1,000 Latinos, migrant poor Latinos, call me their pastor. And we've planted 5 churches out in the fields, and we do rescue crusades. Our last one in 2019 was on Trinity Broadcasting. TBN did a special about our Dream Fest. So I have had this incredible career, and while that is going on, I'm seeing the decimation of our country, and more locally, the decimation of California. I mean, literally the decimation of it, and the moral fiber being torn apart. And that was the beginning of God's prompting to me to get involved in politics.
Incredible. you obviously weren't motivated by your abundance of free time. It sounds like you're staying very busy, and I'm sure I can speak on behalf of our audience, as we're thankful for your willingness to serve, as Jesus says, the least of these. We know God's heart breaks for those that are suffering and that are disenfranchised, and so we celebrate that you answered that call. So here you are working, serving the homeless, immigrants, undocumented, and you're seeing what's happening in the nation. I'm guessing, you know, I mean, COVID happens. You see the extreme suffering that takes place, not just medically, physically, but then the economic suffering that was just thrust upon many people. They're never going to open their businesses again. Some of these businesses, they weren't just their life. Maybe some of these businesses, they were handed down to them from their parents or their grandparents, never to be recovered again. What did that process look like for you as you were watching what was happening to the point where you are today, says, you know what? I'm putting my hat in the ring. I need to make a difference here.
My life has been one of understanding the blessing of living in this country. My grandparents on both sides were migrants from Italy. On my parents' side, from a small town called Alcamo outside of Palermo in Sicily. On my father's side, in the boot of Italy, Calabria was the area, and we grew up as a lower middle class family that loved family and loved small business. We were small business owners. My father was, and my grandparents were, and we lived in Central Torrance, and that's where I grew up, which was just a middle-income area. And so the value of work, the value of faith, the value of family in this California dream, what became me, and I became a product of it. And so when I became a pastor, I say that I became a pastor to the wealthy and the poor, and to the middle class, and also to the people that nobody wanted on the streets. And all of them was suffering. And this was a slippery slope that happened in California over the last 30 years, but the last 10 years, it extremely accelerated. So what it looked like for me with that background was threefold. Number one, the steep decline in morality that is now in our school systems, where in California, we have the California Healthy Youth Act, which integrates, it was passed into law, and Mr. Newsom signed it into law, which integrates a secular humanism religious belief system that at the core attacks the sanctity of gender, and introduces to kindergartners that when they were born, a book is introduced at that time called Who Are You? And it declares to kindergartners in the state of California, when you were born, your parents made a guess at your gender. And sometimes they guess wrong.
Wow.
And, you know, your little body parts are the same, interchangeable little Susie with Johnny's, and a steady stream of the attack on morality in every fashion or shape that we know. That became a line in the sand as I held my grandkids. 18,000 businesses, doors were shut in last year. The gross lack of interest, work, or competence to care for the small business owner, which is 99% of all businesses in the state of California, and the personal grief that, as a pastor, I helped many small business owners in my community and our congregation that lost everything, not because of a pandemic, but because of how this governor and the state legislature have handled it. Every dimension, they just completely ignore the small business owner. So the moral decline, the financial decline, the decline in the takeover of the California dream, and the calling of God on this state is like no other state in the union. I would propose to you that, you know, as you said, where California goes, the nation goes. What God has birthed here, not just inside the church, But the businesses that God birthed here that have literally shaped and fashioned the behavior of the world, there is a special anointing and calling on the state. And God wants us to step in and take it back.
So you've officially, your candidacy is official.
Yes.
How many people are they expecting to be running in this election? Is there a limit to how many candidates there's going to be?
No, Jeff, not at all. And this is the thing I think that's so important for the church to understand and conservatives to understand. Last time this happened in the state of California was Gray Davis. It was over 140 that were on the ballot. They're anticipating at least that number, maybe as many as 200. Because it is easy. Anyone can get on the ballot. It just takes $4,000 and your name's on the ballot. And what you see is that there's a real God moment, because you can win this election with 15% of the vote because it is so diluted. And so it is an incredible opportunity and an incredible battle for the soul of California. And I believe where California goes, the soul of the nation goes. And so we are at a real critical point and in a very crowded field.
What are the distinguishing points of your platform and your candidacy that you think are especially pertinent for our listeners and for the residents of California in general? What's your distinctives that's going to set you apart from the other candidates?
Well, thank you for that question. I think it's the most important question that people should ask of every candidate. For me, it's simple. It's two primary things: my business experience to run the state and my compassion experience to unite us again. And that's the simplest way to say it. As an entrepreneur, as a pioneer in the technology industry, literally at the beginning of what you see and we see as every day, before any of it existed, I had the great privilege of learning, growing, and contributing significantly to the birth of creativity at a level we've not seen in the history of mankind. And running some of the biggest companies in country, in the software industry country, that business experience, that entrepreneurship, that creativity, that pioneering spirit, I think gives me, relative to all the other candidates, a unique ability, a core skill set, a resume to run the state. The second part, which is critical as well, is the compassion experience. We have a homeless pandemic in California. We have 17% of the population and close to half of all the homeless. That population is growing by 16% a year. We're adding California residents that are becoming homeless every single year. Billions of dollars have been thrown at it, and it's not working. And nobody has the experience and the understanding that's running for office that I do, and the proven track record of what works and what doesn't work, of the industry, of the problems, of the people. I have the battle scars and the wounds and the successes that demonstrate the compassion and the understanding to solve a true pandemic. We have diseases in California, like the bubonic plague, that are incurable diseases that have risen up again. We have to address this problem, and we have to look at it in a very different way than the way it's being looked at. And that's number two, my compassion for the immigrants, for the Latinos. I really would suggest to everybody the question they need to ask themselves: not who can run, but who can win. The reality is that for a conservative to win, a Republican conservative to win in the state of California, you have to get outside the walls of the Republican Party. And insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. And, most of the candidates that are running that conservatives would be attracted to, their messages are pure Republican. I suggest to you that unless you can win independents and what they would call themselves conservative Democrats, you cannot win as a Republican. We need to reinvent the Republican Party and reach across the aisle. And to do that, there's one population above all in the state of California that if you win them, you win the election and you turn the tide of California, and that's the Latinos. And I would suggest to everyone listening, no one running right now has a better chance of winning the hearts and souls of Latinos than I do, because I have demonstrated my care for their people in deep ways, demonstrated it in incredible ways that, you know, it's not just more talk. It's actually the work God's allowed me to do. I deeply care for Latinos. And that work, the other reason why whoever wins this recall, we need to consider, it's not about winning recall, it's about the next 5 years. The only way to get into office with all the corruption is a recall. But once you're in office, you have to run again in a statewide election in 2022 with all guns blazing against you. When the Democrats come out with all their evil and vitriol, that's the election that is up at stake. And how do you win that election? The Latino vote is the key. And I do believe if someone goes to my website, someone looks at the videos, I think they would also agree that I'm in the best position. I'm in the God position to reach these incredible people, which have been spoken of as the key to the future of California.
That's incredible. Unfortunately, we're just about at the end of the interview. What does it look like for the campaign over the next few weeks and maybe month or so? Are there any key events or engagements? What are some things that we could be looking forward to hearing about?
Thank you. We are traveling the state. This is a grassroots campaign. This is against all odds. I need everyone's help financially. SamGallucci.com. Go to my website, you'll see the intro video, and donate. We need to raise the money necessary to win this election. I have speaking engagements up and down the state. If you go to my website, you sign up for my email blast, you'll get information about the location of those. And we are raising money. The support is overwhelming. When we cast the vision, there is a blanket of hopelessness that is lifted. When we cast the vision, when I cast the vision that God's given me, He has uniquely prepared me for this journey. And I am humbled to do this because I'm not a politician. I'm a Californian that cares deeply to take the state back, give it back to its people, to be one of those governors, as we see in the Old Testament, that God raised to bring back the morality back into existence, because that is at the core of what we're fighting against, an immorality that's been governed and made law that is changing literally the shape of this nation. So please join me.
Amazing. And, you know, we're doing this podcast interview on the National Day of Prayer. And right now there are Christians and believers gathering on their state capitals, in the Capitol in Washington, D.C., praying for our nation. You know, and I just thought, Sam, I wonder if you might be willing to just say a prayer as our listeners would join with us, just for our nation, and that God would have His way in our nation moving forward. Would you mind closing us with prayer?
Yes, I would love to. Father, in Jesus' name, it is a great privilege to pray in this broadcast. We pray, Lord, Jeremiah 26:13, Lord, that You help us to step in to do something. We pray, Lord, in His prayer that You expose the blueprints of the enemy. And we pray, Lord, that we decree in prayer, Ezekiel 6:11, that our prayers will come to You and You will rise up the church, rise up Californians, rise up the nation, even those that are far from You, that have a sense of right and wrong, good and evil, Lord. We pray that this is the moment that revival comes, that truth comes. Lord, we pray for a revival of truth like we've never seen it before. And we pray that You heal our great nation and unite us again as Your people. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. In Jesus' name. Well, we've been listening to Sam Gallucci. He's a businessman turned pastor turned political candidate, and he's running for the governor of California. Sam, thank you so much for being on the podcast. We pray for all the best for your campaign.
Thank you, Jeff. God bless.
God bless you. You've been listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, one daily news story well told. We want to encourage you to share today's broadcast with your friends and family. It's a great way to spread the message of God's kingdom and bring something encouraging to those that you care about. Subscribe to the podcast, and you'll never miss an episode. We pray God's richest blessings upon you. God bless.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.